face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, third hour, Felger Mass here from the TD Garden. We're going to give you a Celtics Minute here coming up this hour, but the phones are loaded here with Patriots calls, so I want to cycle through these before we move on and just touch on the Celtics here coming in later on this hour. But back to your calls. As promised, we did three up, three down for the season earlier. Lori in Marlboro has a problem with our rankings. Go ahead, Lori.
No, not a problem with your rankings, Felger. I think that the coaching should be a positivity for this season, and they should be included in the top three.
I agree, Laura. I think this season has been about, and thanks for the call. I would agree. We kept it to players, but I think you talk about who's more important, Brady, Belichick, that whole lifelong debate. In 2018, I think Belichick was far more impactful than the quarterback.
Yes. I mean, they're on the plus side for sure. They're in that discussion. They're not on the other side. So, but again, I just think you got some good candidates here on the plus side. We talked about Van Noy. We talked about James White, Trey Flowers. Like, those are all, you know, pretty good impact guys this year.
No, I think it was more about Belichick, the coach. His personnel work, again, you know, some second guessing there. But as a coach, I think it was largely about him this year. Anthony in Waltham. What do you got, Anthony?
Hey, do you think Belichick really wants to win a Super Bowl without Brady? That's why he wanted to keep Garoppolo. I don't think it was about a long term. I think he wants all the credit because he knows he was a failure in Cleveland, and a way to make up for that is win without Brady. What's your take?
I think he'd like to, but not at the cost of anything else. In other words, he's not trading Tom Brady to get worse just to try and prove he could win with another quarterback.
Correct.
If he had another quarterback that he felt he could really win with, then I think he'd like that. I think any competitive person would. So I just think he has that instinct, like anyone would with an ego or talent, to, you know, want to prove themselves. I mean, what else does Bill have left to prove? He only has one thing to prove.
No, that's it. That's the only thing.
He could win with another guy. So if he had the chance, you don't think he'd like it? Of course he would.
The number one reason he wanted to keep Garoppolo is because he thought Garoppolo was good. Okay, that's why. Not because of his legacy or anything else. It factors in.
Oh, you don't think that's on the list?
No, I didn't say not yet. I said the number one reason. I didn't say the only reason. I said number one.
Yes.
Was if Garoppolo were mediocre,
exactly.
He'd see you later.
Exactly.
No. He thought Garoppolo could play. That's why he wanted to keep him.
Chris in Needham has a thought for us on the coaching thing. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Chris? Talking to the phone like a pizza.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm a Dolphins fan, and you know what? I know you guys beat up on us every year about, oh, the AFC sucks. Well, who has leverage? You guys were talking about leverage in the Patriots organization. There's one guy who does, and it's Josh McDaniels. And if the Dolphins could get Josh McDaniels, he got an owner and Steve.
Well, here, let me stop you.
Tremont, no shot.
Your phone does suck, and you bug. Does Josh McDaniels to Miami make sense for either Miami or Josh McDaniels?
Maybe Miami, but not Josh McDaniels. Like, well, why would you go there with no quarterback?
Wait, so you turned down Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, to coach the Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill?
No shot.
Come on.
No. To me, it's one of two jobs, really, for McDaniels. It's Cleveland or it's Green Bay. That's it. It's one of those two. I think those are the two best jobs out there. And, you know, as it pertains to the Dolphins in particular, like, to me, that or like, I think that you say the Dolphins, maybe this is the imprint on me from all those years when they used to kick the crap out of the Patriots. I still think the Dolphins have history. Like, I think that, you know, there's something that comes with the name Miami Dolphins.
Nope, not anymore. Nope.
So
nope.
Like,
nope.
You're
nope.
Living in the past.
I
mean,
I totally am.
It's like saying the
Redskins.
No, the Redskins still have cachet, or the Raiders still have cachet. No, sir. Time is gone. That has long since passed. Way too long of a gap since they were an elite team, and that runs out.
See, if McDaniels takes that job, he's stupid. But if I'm Brian Flores, I'd consider that one.
Okay, he said you guys always rag on the AFC sucking. Yeah, we do, because it does.
You want the stat of all stats this year on the division?
Here's a great, and this ties into why I don't believe in the Patriots this year as a Super Bowl team. I mean, let me just qualify that. I'm not telling you they suck. There'll be a final eight team. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a final four team, or, you know, I just I don't think they're going to win it all. I think someone's going to catch them here in the next couple weeks. All right, and I don't believe in them as a championship team. Here's another reason why. Give us the stat.
Okay, so Bedard told us earlier during one of the breaks that the Patriots' point differential, thanks to the wins at the end of the year, jumped to plus 111. Well, their point differential, they are plus 111 for the season now.
Points scored versus points allowed.
Correct. You know what they were, point differential in the division?
So hold on. For the whole season, all 16 games, they're plus 111. What is their point differential just within games within the AFC East?
Plus 110.
So against the rest of the league, they're plus one.
Plus one in 10 games.
In which they were 6-4.
Correct. Which, you know, and look, this is me being a ball buster now. But I look at it and say, plus one in 10 games, that's 5-5. That's what that is. That means you've allowed as many points as you've scored.
Except it's 6-4, but that's bad enough. So okay. You don't need to.
So I'm just telling you that.
Ben, to make it sound even worse, because it doesn't sound great to begin with.
But it amplifies the point that they have been outside of their division. A pretty mediocre team is really what it comes down to. Mediocre outside the division.
Kyle in New Hampshire, what do you got for me?
Felger, I hate to say it, man. I like agreeing with you, but you sound like a dope saying that the Patriots would win the East with Brian Hoyer. You have a commercial that talks about things that suck and blow, and Brian Hoyer sucks and blows.
The Tony Maserati Daily Double. I think they'd coach him up and they'd get 8 wins out of him, which is all it would have taken, Kyle.
I disagree.
I mean, really? Okay, we can agree to disagree. I'm not telling you that Brian Hoyer is great.
Again, plus 110 in the division this year. If it's plus 60 with Hoyer, they still go 5-1.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly. So they're winning 5 of the 6 division games anyway. They are.
They're going 4-0 against the Bills and the Jets. And then Miami down there, they lose.
Okay, so fine. 5-1 is 5. I mean, that's what they would have done with Brian Hoyer. They're 5-1. Can you give me 3 other wins? Can I get 3 other wins out of Brian Hoyer on this schedule, and I've won the division?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Yes.
No, he's that bad.
No, he's not that
he's
bad.
He's afraid of his own shadow.
No, no, no.
He's really
not,
that
no,
bad.
No, you get the other wins.
No.
They lose to Chicago. They lose to Green Bay. They lose to Minnesota. They lose Buffalo Jets game on the road. He's that bad. He is that bad.
I disagree. They go 8-8.
Not this year. Who played quarterback for the Bills that game you were there?
Derek Anderson.
Peterman?
Derek Anderson.
Who was it?
Yeah.
Derek Anderson,
who was golfing like 2 weeks before. Yeah. Guys, they would have won the division with Brian Hoyer. It's a silly argument. It really doesn't matter. But I'm just telling you, they would have. Gary in Cranston. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for calling. Listen, okay. I have a theory about Brady. Only Brady can put pressure on Tom Brady. And I think he had one mantra once this season started, and that was one sentence. I should have waited, I should have waited, I should have waited. He put this book out, and rightfully so, but I think he put pressure, not in the front of his brain, in the back. And he thought he might have to be spectacular. I just put out a book. How great I am. You know, and he can do it. This is how good I am at 40 and why. Now, the book goes out. He's got to back that up again and again. He might have wanted to say, after I retired, look what I did at 44. And I just believe he's putting more pressure on himself. Your guy said he wasn't dialed in. Here's the thing. He's dialed in, but he's missing by 2 feet up. And that's tenseness. And that's him.
Okay, Gary, I'm just going to stop you before you do any more damage. I actually understand what he's saying.
My head is spinning. That's like the most schizophrenic phone call of all time.
No, but don't you understand what he's saying? That Brady put pressure on himself by saying, I have the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, he did. I don't think that that's impacted him. I don't think that's what's going on with him. I don't think that's a story at all.
It just doesn't feel like he's been as connected to it as he's been in the past.
A previous caller said earlier, and it was a good way to put it, it's like he showed up late to work, and so they were behind from the start, and it never really got right. It's not all on him. His weapons and the people around him, you know, took a half step back between Edelman's suspension and then his drops and Gronkowski's health. And so, yes, I think he has some talent around him. Maybe it's not. So it's taken a little step back around him. I think he got banged up. But it starts with he put less into it, so he's getting less out of it, and that's what it is. Did he put pressure on himself with the nonsensical, I've got all the answers? Yes. But I don't think that impacts him. I don't.
I mean, I thought there was one point in the season where they started to turn a corner, and that's right when Edelman came back. Like, all of a sudden, their offense started to look more familiar, and I thought, oh, okay, here it comes. And then it just never continued from there. In fact, it regressed a little bit. And since that time, I just haven't seen a change. They've been inconsistent all year long.
We'll continue with your thoughts all day long on the Patriots and Bedard's assessment on Tom Brady, that he's still subpar. 14 straight subpar quarters for him. So that's just, we'll continue with that thought. I want to get back to the NFL TV ratings increasing 5% this year over last. What do we ascribe that to? Why? Why are TV ratings back up in the National Football League? We'll do all of that with your calls, but quickly, next, a Celtics minute off of last night's win, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
103-92. Celtics by 11. 4:39 to go. Hayward pull up on Gibson. Three more.
Ooh. Man.
Celtics needed a hero tonight. And Gordon Hayward, from out of the phone booth, became Gordon Hayward again. 33 off the Boston bench. Celtics by 14.
All right, here's your Celtics minute. I thought it was a very predictable result last night. I said it yesterday during the show. Just the kind of game they win. Just the kind of game they win. They get a little shorthanded personnel-wise, and that's when they're at their best. I've seen this team do it now for 4+ years under Brad Stevens. That's their sweet spot. That's what they are. They are a scrappy, overachieving team when the personnel is down.
Shocker how Terry Rozier looks kind of better as a starter. It's almost as if he's trying more or something. He's in that role.
So they win going away, and win, you know, Gordon Hayward.
Oh, yeah, another shocker there, too. The team that he scored 30 points against about a month and a half ago and fooled everybody, including myself. Hey, wow, he's finally figured out. He's now more comfortable.
He scores 35.
35 last night.
After taking a donut the game before in San Antonio. Your thoughts?
Okay, so I'm not buying on either front. I would say, as you said yesterday, they're good in that spot. And then beyond that, you realize Minnesota's now one of the eight worst teams in the league? I mean, they're at the bottom now. After all the hype there with Towns, Wiggins, they bring in Jimmy Butler, they've now deteriorated to one of the worst teams in the league, the Minnesota Timberwolves are. And so I went and looked this up today because it struck me as nobody kicks the crap out of bad teams like the 2018-19 Boston Celtics. Nobody. Against the eight worst teams in the league, the Celtics are now 13-2.
And now Minnesota's is one of them.
Minnesota's one of them, yep. Absolutely. They're 2-0 against Minnesota. They are 13-2 against those teams, 9-13 against everyone else. So why should a game like last night change your opinion?
Say that again.
They are 13-2 against the eight worst teams in the league. They are 9-13 against everybody else.
They're 9-13
against anyone who's not the dregs of the league.
The top two-thirds of the league.
Correct. Three-quarters of the league.
Three-quarters of the league. Right, yep. What I'm saying, I undersold it. Three-quarters of the league.
Yep, they are 9-13. And so we're supposed to all of a sudden say, well, okay, they fixed it, or that's a step in the right direction, based on what? And the 13-2 that they are, the two losses at home to Phoenix and the Knicks.
You should be 15-0 against
You should be 15-0. And the fact of the matter is, if the Celtics are what we all thought they were going to be, which is a contender, a championship contender, You're not going 9-13 against the rest of the league. You're not. You should be going like, you know, two wins out of every three games. Your winning percentage should be 650. That's what it should be. And then he should absolutely clean up on the bums. So this team, you know what they are right now? They're a team that cleans up on the bums, on the absolute dog food and dog crap in the league. But they don't do anything against anybody else. And as it pertains to Hayward, am I really supposed to get excited about this?
No. No, and okay, that's good for him, but I'm not going to fool myself into thinking like he's automatically found himself like he did against this team about a month and a half ago, because that's what I thought. Like, oh, wow, he looks more confident. And then he goes into the tank again, or has been inconsistent since. I don't think anything's changed there. And the Rozier thing, I'm sorry, I'm bugged by it. Like, neat, they won last night, but I just think that that's further proof that he's got to be gone by the trade deadline. Like, that you see him play the way he does as a starter, and he's so much better in that role than as a reserve player. Like, that's proof that he doesn't want that role. He doesn't want. He's still pissed about his role here. He's still pissed about the minutes.
It's in his head. Well, but so the whole thing last night speaks to me of what they've been. They beat up on bad teams and they struggle against anyone who's halfway decent. Okay, right. But the other thing about, so Kyrie Irving's out. Marcus Morris gets hurt in the game. Marcus Smart
gets hurt
during the game. There's fewer mouths to feed. There's fewer guys out there. And the next thing you know, Gordon Hayward looks like the old Gordon Hayward, and they win by double digits going away. Like, isn't it clear that there's just, I mean, I'm not saying they can't figure it out, but when everyone's healthy and everyone's there and everyone wants the ball and everyone wants their shot and everyone's worried about their brand and their commercial and all this crap, they can't figure it out. It's when they cull the herd and there's less bodies and less shots and less ego and less, you know, Brad's rotations are more really sort of dictated to him, is when they're at their best.
Yes. Look, I don't know where this thing's going. None of us do. But right now, they have too many guys who want to play and not enough guys who want to win. Like, that's how I look at it. Rozier's a perfect example. He's happy when he's on the floor. Fine. So when he's not on the floor and they win, he's unhappy? And I know everybody wants to play. I get that. But they're more interested in being on the floor right now than they are in winning a championship. That's a problem. And Gordon Hayward, the last time he scored 30 against this same Minnesota team, the next 11 games he averaged 8.6.
The next four games after he scored 30 against Minnesota on December 1st, he scored 8, 5, and then sat out the next two. So those were his next four. So that I stop there because that gives me a nice – I can draw the line right there and make a nice sort of –
sure.
Point, you know.
And I'll tell you, even after he came back in that one, 11 games, he averaged 8.6.
Okay. So there's the – so I'm going to need to see it against someone other than Minnesota and for more than a night from Gordon Hayward. And that's not even it. I need to see it when Morris is healthy and playing well and Smart is there and healthy and playing well and Kyrie is there when they have the full team, everyone's healthy, because they still haven't figured that out. They still haven't figured that out. They've been at their best when they've had certain guys hurt here or there, and you've had fewer mouths to feed, and they become more like the old Celtics where they have to engage a little bit more because they're shorthanded, and then they look like the team we've always known. When they're fully loaded and their lineup is full, they have yet to look like the team we thought they were going to be.
Minnesota. We're going to celebrate a win over Minnesota.
So can I just say quickly about Minnesota?
Tom Thibodeau called a timeout a minute into the game last night. He was pissed. He hates his team.
Oh, my God. Do I hate his team, too? It's unwatchable. That was the kind of NBA game to me that's unwatchable, where the other team just does not give a crap.
No, they didn't want to be out there. You could tell.
They never got back on defense. They, you know, the ball would go up for a rebound. Wiggins would stand there. How many breakaway dunks and breakaway layups did the Celtics get going the other way because Minnesota just stood there?
There was that sequence in the second quarter where Daniel Theis looked like Porzingis, for crying out loud. He was swatting balls out of the paint, back out to the three-point line on the offensive end, rebounding on the defensive end, making threes. Theis looked like Porzingis against these hacks.
Impossible. Product last night to me. I can't stand those kind of nights where the team just, I mean, completely does not give a crap. And that's the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you see why Jimmy Butler wanted out of there. There's something wrong with Wiggins.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't care how many points he scores.
I'll tell you, Towns,
there
too.
There is a softness there.
Plastic,
that kid.
Empty points.
Yeah, Towns, too. There's something there. Because I think part of the reason Thibodeau was as annoyed, the reason he had a good third quarter last night, Minnesota, because Towns started to play with passion and got in the paint and scored in there. Early in the game, he wasn't interested either.
Okay, so anyway, there's your Celtics thoughts. What do you think? Bob in Falmouth, what do you got for us on the Seas?
I just want to say that I'm shocked that I actually have more faith in the Patriots and the Bruins in the playoffs than I would with the Celtics right now. When you look at it, we have to do something with a big man. I think Vukovic out of Orlando is the guy we have to go after. We're going to either face...
Okay, so let me just stop. Bob, thanks for the call. Is that solve their issue if they bring in another body, a big man?
No. No. It doesn't
solve...
It would
help.
It's a problem right now, but no. No, the bigger issue is how all the pieces fit together.
They haven't fit the pieces together yet.
No, if they play right, though, they'd be a hell of a lot better than 9-13 or 14 against the rest of the league.
You make the case of the second or third most talented team in the league.
They get a lot of players.
And they can't, and when they're all healthy and they're all there, they can't figure it out. They haven't been able to, and last night doesn't qualify. So
it's crazy. It's not even supposed to happen in that league. The more talent you have, the better you are.
Yes.
And it's almost like a lock that you're going to the finals.
Yes.
And this is how they're playing and how they've looked is the antithesis
that
of that.
That is staggering that outside of the bottom eight teams in the league, they're 9-14, you said?
9-14. 9-13, I'm sorry. 9-13 against everyone other than the bottom eight.
Hi.
And you know what? You can't have the discussion about the pieces not fitting together without bringing Stevens into it. I'm sorry.
Of course.
So I'm mentioning it just because it feels like you leave him out. And you don't leave him out. Stevens has got to figure it out, too. That's part of the problem.
Brian and Boylston, your thoughts. Brian! Okay, babe, he's not there. This guy just jumped on at Celtics, so we'll do it. He's one of the voices of the Celtics here in New England. Green Mountain Luke. Go ahead, Luke. What do you think?
Maz, you do realize the Celtics have beaten Philly, Toronto, and Milwaukee, right? The teams in front of them in the East?
They have beaten those teams, yes.
I gave you the aggregate.
Yeah, but that's not a little thing, having beat those teams, you know? That's not a small thing.
Phoenix and the Knicks have both beaten the Celtics. Does that make them good?
No, but they've beaten the elite teams is all I'm saying. When they've played the elite teams in their conference, they have beaten them. That means something. They do show up to the big games. And, Mass, talking about some of those other teams, remember when you told me you'd rather be Minnesota than Boston or New York than Boston or Philly than Boston 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
How does that look?
Yeah, I mean, how far back you want to go? They didn't have Tatum. They didn't have Brown. They didn't have Kyrie.
I told you they had the draft picks and that Brad Stevens would get people here. And Danny
what does it have to do with this team,
Luke? What?
Luke, what does our wrong takes from the past have to do with today and the Celtics?
Because the Celtics will figure it out. They have good management. They have good coaching. They have good talent. They will figure it out. They're struggling. A lot of the problems you guys have identified are real. We're only 3 days into 2019, there's 5 months before we're going to play in the Eastern Conference.
Are you confident,
finals.
Luke, they figure it out this year? Are you confident they figure
Absolutely
out this season?
Absolutely confident they figure it out this year. Absolutely. They're going to the finals.
Okay, when does that happen?
Who knows? When did LeBron start to try last year? And I know nobody's LeBron. I got it. Nobody's LeBron. I get it. They haven't proven it yet. They will figure it out. I would say Gordon Hayward might not be where he needs to be until April or May. Tatum is in his second year. Brown is in his second real year of playing. They're in their first. The three most important pieces are Hayward, Brown, and Tatum.
Jeez, Louise, Luke, if this was so easy to predict, where were you in the offseason? You tell me they were a 5 seed in the offseason?
No, definitely not. I was wrong. I thought they would be better than they have been, no doubt. And you guys are right about the problems they have. I'm just telling you, you guys don't think they're going to figure it out. You don't think they'll win on the road. I never said that.
No. I never said that. I say I'm pessimistic about it happening this year. Sooner or later, they're going to figure it out. Of course they're going to figure it out. But I have doubts about this year now. I do.
Oh, I mean, I'm not convinced of that. I mean, like, a big picture in the next 5 years? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what we're talking about.
But for this season?
This season, the way it's shaping out, they're going to have to go to Toronto or Milwaukee in the postseason and win on the road in the postseason. Now, handicap this team being able to do that. I'm dubious.
Of course. Absolutely. You should be dubious. I hate the argument that they had one win against a good team or a couple. Milwaukee also came in here and kicked their ass.
They were also at home. All those games were at home. Did they beat Milwaukee, Philly, or Toronto on the road? Did they play Philly on the road yet?
Philly on the road, I think. No, they haven't played Philly on the road yet.
And, oh, by the way, now Philly's elite? You blew doors on them last year without Kyrie Irving. Now he's back, and now they're an elite team, and you're neck and neck with them. So, look, they might if they get home court, and the next Washburn wrote it today in the Globe, the schedule's laying out for them. They're at home this whole month, it feels like. And if they, you know, start to catch up in the standings, get some home court in the postseason, fine, I'm in. They'll win home games. They should.
I mean, Luke sounds more confident than the owner. I'm trying to make my way through this thing that just posted on the Globe. Wick Grosbeck sat and talked with Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe. And here's the question. Obviously, like you, fans have had big expectations this year. What would be your message to the ones that are riding the ups and downs? I'd like to say I agree. It's been challenging. I wanted to be at the top of the conference, and we're fifth. And I guess I'd just say we're going to try hard to make this year still a special season. We're hoping. I mean, Luke's like, oh, it's a lock. It sounds like he thinks it's a lock. At the five seed right now? They can't get the hell out of their own way.
If you figure it out and go to Toronto in the postseason, I don't like your chances. Whether you figure it out or not, it's hard to win on the road in the postseason. You've never done it.
And they can't win there at all.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, I said it before. NFL ratings were back up. TV ratings back up. 5% across the board. Not just that. But Sunday Night Football drew an average of 19 million viewers, same-day viewers, up 7% from last year. Sunday Night Football is projected to finish as primetime's number one TV show in all key metrics for the eighth consecutive year. Monday Night Football was up 8% and also up another couple percentage points from 2016. In its debut season, even Thursday Night Football did well. Thursday Night Football on Fox drew 14 million viewers. That was higher than their 2017 averages on both CBS and NBC, which both combined with the NFL Network. Of the 50 most watched sporting events in 2018, 40 were NFL games, which isn't surprising. But anyway, I ask you, how come NFL ratings, after dipping the last two, three years, why are they back up?
Okay, so my catch-all phrase here is more scoring, less controversy. That's how I put it.
You think the controversy keeps the ratings down?
No.
Controversy, what do you mean?
No, I think that I'm talking about, you know, bitching about what's a catch, what's not a catch. Stuff that, as a fan, would frustrate you. Okay? Stuff that, as a fan, would it's really been all about the football this year. That's what I'm saying. And the more that I think about it, boy, the young quarterback thing is a huge one. It really is. Because you know what a young quarterback is? Hope. You're more inclined to, if you're you have a crap team.
But young guys who can play.
Well, okay, so yes, good young quarterbacks.
Because, you know, Josh Allen didn't draw any eyeballs to the
good team. Young quarterbacks. That you are more inclined in a bad market to watch your team than you have been in the past, because now there is promise. There is hope. Whether it's Baker Mayfield or
Darnold, I think, too. You can make a case
sure.
For him, too. He was hurt a couple of weeks or so, but, you know, you can see that there's promise there.
But there's a new beginning there with those guys, right? Like, dude, you know what? Hey, now I got to watch. The Jets got a high pick I'm going to watch. And I think that's a big part of it.
I think the number one thing is the number of healthy quarterbacks in the league.
That's what I think it is.
Okay, and not just young, but that helps. But healthy quarterbacks in the league. The year before, Deshaun Watson was gone for most of the year. Rodgers missed, whatever, over half the season. Who else got hurt the year before?
Well, I felt like there were a bunch, right?
And I can't remember off the top of my head who they were, but I feel like there were a bunch of guys who were out. Was Roethlisberger out for a bunch last year?
Probably.
Yeah, you know, so it just feels like there were quarterback injuries there. Now, the only guy you really lost...
Garoppolo?
Was Garoppolo, and, you know, I mean, I'm not telling you he's the greatest quarterback in the league, but, you know, that made San Francisco games unwatchable. There's really not other team that you would say that about.
No, and in fact, San Francisco is a great example for that reason. Think about what was all the hype there about?
the quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, but it just shows you how important that one, you know, you take that one guy, you take Rodgers away from Green Bay, and you can't watch that team. You can't watch that game. Take Deshaun Watson off the field for Houston. You can't watch him.
I remember Luck was hurt last year, too.
Andrew
right.
Luck.
Another one.
You put in whoever the hell, but Jacoby Brissett, you can't watch that. You know, so they lose Garoppolo. All of a sudden, the Niners, who are on like five primetime games, they were going to be a marquee team. Garoppolo's a big story. All of a sudden, they go to zero. Well, the year before, you had over a handful of guys where that was the case. So I think that's a huge factor.
Definitely.
Most of the guys stayed healthy, which leads me to the next thing. All these rules that we hate in the league, can't you say they worked? You know, all these things that drive us crazy, the roughing the passer and you cannot touch the guy, don't you think they're smart to do it? Because if you take that guy off the field, it's an unwatchable product. That guy has to be on the field.
Well, they're smart to do it for the casual fan. Like, I still like old football better.
Okay, really? Yeah. So you watch San Francisco this year? You're a huge San Francisco 49ers fan, Maz. I saw you. You bought the jersey and the helmet and everything. You're
still
all
got
in,
them.
All in on the Niners.
Yep.
Did you watch them once this year after Garoppolo got hurt?
Nope.
Okay, so you're not a casual fan.
I'm not a casual fan.
And that's what I'm saying. Even the hardcore fans go.
Okay, but this is,
when the quarterback's gone, even the hardcore fans don't watch.
Okay, what do you think would happen to Patriots ratings if they lost Brady?
They would have gone down 20%.
Okay, so a lot, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, me too, but I'm saying I'm not a I might be a casual fan of the Niners, I'm a hardcore football fan.
They lose everybody when you lose the quarterback. They lose everybody. It's not a casual. The quarterback thing is not a casual.
I see what you're saying.
I mean, I just think it's become the league. It's become the sport. You lose that guy, never mind what's on the field. The whole business of the league changes. So, you know, all the Clay Matthews roughing the passer penalties, all the roughing the passer penalties that we freaking hate, they're smart to do it from a business standpoint.
Sure.
Because that's what I think that's been the number one thing. The healthy quarterbacks, the fact that there's good young quarterbacks, I think helps. I also think the passing rules that we hate, from a business standpoint, it works for them. Because the points and the passing game and all that, it draws viewers. It does. It works.
Oh, yeah. No. From a business standpoint, it's not debatable. I'm telling you, I like football when the quarterback gets hit.
I understand that.
That's all I'm saying.
They're smart. They are smart to try and do everything they can to make sure they don't get hit.
Yeah, from a business standpoint, I don't know that it's even debatable. Like the
yeah,
you know,
when it's the backups, it really does make it unwatchable. I mean there's some look. It worked out for the Eagles. I forgot Wentz got hurt last year too, and obviously it worked out for him with Foles. Say
out.
What you will about Ryan Tannehill, he's a stiff, but at least he makes the Dolphins a little bit competitive. He was out last year. Like, they got ravaged by injuries at that position last year.
I mean, the Packers and the Niners are really they go from really watchable, compelling teams because of their quarterbacks to absolute zeros. You can't even think about watching them. And so why are the ratings back up? The quarterback stayed healthy. There's some really interesting young guys who can play, it looks like. And the passing rules that we hate like poison work. They draw viewers. Notice not on my list is the anthem controversy. I don't think people left the games because of the anthem controversy. I don't think they're back because they ignored the anthem controversy. I think that's a red herring. I think that's a non-story. I don't think that impacted ratings hardly at all.
And when that was in the red, though, when that was at its zenith, I do think they probably lost a chunk of people. But they came back.
I think it was a small sliver, not a chunk.
I just think the entertainment value of the league, and I say less controversy because I think it, you know, you could say on some level we talk about it more. But as a fan, you know, with the catch and knock, you get frustrated over that.
It's frustrating, yeah, definitely.
Right? I mean, frustrated over that. And this year, there was none of that.
Oh, that to me, that's the biggest surprise in the league. I thought it'd be worse because it's less defined to me. It was, they put more judgment into it. But the thing totally went away. Like, you hardly ever hear of a Monday morning controversy about was that a catch or not a catch. I'm stunned that it just went away.
I mean, really, I can't think of a single game, really, where we said, well, that was the catch rule came into play there. I mean, now they call it a catch, and you just kind of move on from it. So, and Murray, you should stick that little feather in your cap. Of all the quarterbacks in the league who stayed healthy, one couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah, oh, no, I know, because he's fragile. It's one. Italian.
One quarterback.
So, there's your thoughts on the NFL ratings. You're all lined up. Patriots, Celtics, I promise. Right back to you. Also a thought from Tom Brady, who spoke today at Gillette. That's all coming up next on Felger and Maz. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's, every team has its own unique identity. I mean, this team cares a lot about each other. And, you know, we play for each other. You know, we're playing to win. I think that's what we're here for. You know, we've shown we can compete. We've shown we could overcome some adversity. We've been counted out a few times and showed back up with a lot of resolve. And we have great character on this team. Our story's still being written. And fortunately, we have an opportunity to write it. And we got to go out there and play our best. Every team we play next week and, you know, beyond, hopefully, is a great team. They've earned it. The team we play will have won a playoff game. You know, we're going to have to play our best game of the year.
That was Brady today at Gillette. Nice piece of sound, I thought. A good cut. Back to your phones. We got Celtics and Patriots mixed in here. We got Mike in the car. What do you got for us, Mike?
Hey, guys, I don't know why you're so scared and not thinking of the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl. I mean, like, who actually scares you in the AFC? You think the Ravens are going to come here with a run-first rookie quarterback?
Can I answer your question for you, Mike? Who scares me? The Patriots. The Patriots scare me. I don't think they're good enough.
That's fair. That's fair. But you guys always say, like, everybody else in the league is just stupid. Who do you think is actually going to come here and knock them off? Like, you think the Texans are going to show up in their tuxedos and their varsity jackets and take it down?
Yeah, I'm going to pick them, Mike. I'm going to pick the Texans if it comes to it because I don't believe in you. So, like, I think we fall into that trap a little too often. You know, you're telling me it's all about coach and quarterback. Doug Peterson and a backup Nick Foles? There's no way. I mean, I fell into that last year myself. No way, Doug Peterson and his stupid visor and a backup quarterback is going to be Brady and Belichick. I don't believe in the Eagles one bit. Whoops. So, like, it's just a wrong way to handicap it. Joe Flacco is going to come into Gillette and beat the Patriots?
Twice.
A couple times.
Right, and in one of them he threw 10 passes.
And who are you taking, Bill Belichick or John Harbaugh? Well, I'm taking Belichick. Well, Harbaugh beat you a couple times. It's just a flawed way to assess it.
Of course it is, yes. And the other thing is the way he phrased it, who's going to come in here and beat the Patriots?
Mark Sanchez?
Well, and what if they have to go to Kansas City? Like, why do you leave that out?
Thank you.
They're not the top seed. They're second. So there's a good chance they have to go to Kansas City. Do you like them there? Because I don't.
Scott on the Cape on the Celtics. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I think I got the answer for the Celtics to make it to the finals. Let's get rid of Kyrie by trading him and a first-round draft pick for Anthony Davis. They don't play good with him, so why keep him? And I don't think he's going to stay anyways if they don't make it to the finals in the first place. So,
okay. Well, there is something. I'm just going to stop there. They're not better without him. But I spent some time yesterday, and I still need to apply. His brilliance has not translated to the win-loss record. It just hasn't. For whatever reason. That's not – I don't know. It's someone's fault. Maybe it's his. I don't know. I'm not getting rid of the guy, and I'm not telling you're better without him. But I just don't know. Someone has to explain to me how they play as well as they did down the stretch last year. Then you add an MVP candidate in Kyrie Irving in a league where the only thing that matters is talent, and you've gotten worse. So that's happened.
I don't get that either.
That's a fact. But that's so you explain that. I'm not getting rid of him necessarily. And I say necessarily because I don't think he's the only great point guard. And I still think that, well, I mean, just put it to like this. If you traded, would you take Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving?
No.
No.
And you know what? I mean, In a vacuum, yes.
Well, so I don't understand.
Okay, because I say no because I don't think you're keeping Anthony Davis without Kyrie Irving. You follow me? In other words, the whole idea is to have them both. So I don't want one or the other. I want both. That, to me, that's the goal.
Yeah, but just one-to-one?
Let's say one-to-one.
I'll take a guard with an injury history over a big man with an injury history. Every time you look up, guys head into the locker room.
I'd take Anthony Davis over Kyrie. And because I think he gives the Celtics something they don't have. So you give Davis and you give him Tatum? Like, I like that combo better than I like
Tatum and Irving.
Correct. Because now you got a guy that can police the paint, too, and give you a presence near the basket on both ends of the floor. So I like that better. But to me, it defeats the purpose. You're not championship. You're not going to win the championship either way if you only have one of them.
I just think it's a chemistry thing more than anything else. The more I think about it, it's those young guys hold some kind of resentment. Brown, Tatum, guys like that. Brown maybe more than Tatum. There is resentment there because they think that he talks too much. And we got to the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7, without you last year. And here you are telling us, oh, how should we do it, Kyrie? By the way, where were you for Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals last year? Oh, that's right, you were going to get a nose job.
It's a great one for your movie junket. Oh, you didn't want to have a bad schnoz there for the movie tour. So you weren't on the bench there for game. That was a horrible look. Oh, I hated that. Oh, I hated that. I forgot all about that.
I didn't think that.
That
was a big deal at the time. The more I thought about it, I've come around with you guys on
it. Oh, it's atrocious.
It was bad.
It's atrocious.
So, again, like I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of some of these young guys. And they look at that. Like, again, we almost got to the finals without you.
Okay, but the thing is, you don't tell me Tatum or Brown would do the exact same thing. I mean, it's the NBA. Look, it's a horrible look. I hate it. But if those guys are holding that against some hypocrites, I mean, come on. I mean, jeez. Jaylen Brown nearly jumped down that poor girl's blouse saying how many championships he was going to win. Like, do you think those guys, I mean, they care about all the trappings too now.
Oh, I don't think there's any question they do. And I think a lot of this too comes back to Stevens. In that league, you can't play nine guys 30 minutes a night. I'm giving you bad math there, but follow me. All right.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you can't do it that way. You got to have a top six or seven. And then the other guys fall into a different class. Somebody's got to get squeezed out.
John in New Hampshire, what do you got for us on the Patriots?
Yeah, hi. I wanted to just touch base really quick. I think the fact that the Pats are 11-5 and number two seed is just ridiculous. Based on the fact, I feel like we're a real fraudulent 11-5. But I do feel like we have a really good shot at being in the AFC Championship game again or making the Super Bowl. But I think that speaks more to the state of the NFL as it does, you know, this team. Because I think we're going to be in the AFC Championship game. We might even be hosting it. And this is a terrible 11-5 team.
John, I agree with everything that you said, except they're not terrible and they're not a fraud. They're 11-5. That's what they are. I don't always agree with Parcells that you always are what you are. Sometimes there's a record is misleading because of your schedule or where you played teams. But I think, no, I think this is an 11-5 team, which historically in the league is really good. But it's not great. It's not, you know, typically championship caliber. And so I think you deserve to be 11-5. I think you deserve to have lost that Miami game, as rare as that play was on the last play of the game. And I think that you're 11-5. You're lucky that you're a two seed. Usually that's not good enough for a two seed. So you caught a break there. And maybe that does get you to the Super Bowl. Doesn't make you a great team. And I just don't think great teams typically win Super Bowls.
Yeah, I put this as it's a B kind of team. And I you know, to me, I always sort of look at it in those terms. They're pretty good. They're all right. You know, but they're not like what we're accustomed to seeing. And to me, again, it's about the quality of play. Like, we're used to seeing them operate at a high level of efficiency. We don't see that now.
And you know who I think is a big part of it? Is Tom Brady. Which I would say the exact same thing I would say about him that I'd say about the team, which is he's pretty good. He's good. Not great, and this season has not been championship caliber. That's what I would say about Tom Brady. I think the big fella, Greg Bedard, agrees with me. Bedard was in here earlier. We'll give you his thoughts on Brady right after Murray's 90-second update. There's no commercial, so don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank.
Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.